Don't let the Z fool you. This isn't a Puck Bunny podcast. It's Game Misconduct with Dory and CT.
Welcome to Game Misconduct. I'm CT here with Dory.
Hello.
And don't forget to follow us on social media at Game Miz with a Z Conduct. And so we are wrapping up the regular season, believe it or not. And we have one of our most favorite guests with us today. Dory, take it away.
Oh, I get to do it. Honestly, I think when people think of the Tampa Bay Lightning and the sound of the Tampa Bay Lightning, there is one voice that always comes to mind, and that is Dave Mishkin. He is one of the best in the business, in my opinion, probably a lot of people's opinion, and he is joining us today. Dave, how can people get a hold of you on Twitter? I've noticed pretty active.
Well, thanks for the kind words, Dory. I do have a Twitter account, at Dave Mishkin, and usually anything that is written by me or if we have a show that is coming up on our 24/7 station, which you guys know well, I'll often retweet something that Greg Linnelli, my co-host, will send out. And this year I've kind of started promoting before a game that our game broadcast is coming up. So I'm a little bit more active this year than in years past, but nowhere near as active as most people, I think, who spend a fair amount of time on Twitter. I'm more of a consumer than a producer on Twitter, because I find that it's a really useful tool to get up-to-date information, obviously, in real time, and a lot of information. It's all how you kind of sort through to figure out what it is that you need. Yeah. You need to determine where to go to get what you need and then put the blinders on for a lot of the other stuff.
Yes.
Now, before we get started, I did think of something now that I'm looking at you, because, you know, we don't post the video, but we always talk. So we always have the video so we can see everybody. And I know CT feels the same way. Your Stanley Cup winning call, I think this past one, 2020, is so iconic. It was instantly iconic. People all over hockey Twitter were like, this is how you call a Stanley Cup final game winner. Have you seen it? Have you looked back like, oh, wow, like I am pretty damn good.
Well, it's funny you say seen it, because it was heard.
It was heard.
mostly heard.
Yeah, mostly.
But Gabe Marte, who is our videographer extraordinaire and works on our digital team, he had the idea, and all the years are running together. I think it was the start of last season, but like pre-pandemic, start of the 2020 season, 2019-2020 season. He came to me and he said, you know, I've seen NFL teams have done this where they've set up a camera in the booth of the radio announcer, shooting the radio announcer while the announcer is calling the play. And then afterward, they put together a package which has the play that is happening split screen with the announcer calling that play. He said, I'd like to do that if you'd be okay with that. I said, fine. So this is really all Gabe. So he started it last year during the regular season, and I think they did maybe 8 or 9. I felt like the camera was in there a lot. I mean, it's a GoPro, so somebody is controlling it and then afterward going back and editing it. But then when the pandemic hit, and in the bubble, we weren't in the bubble, obviously the broadcasters except for a select few weren't there, so we called the games from the event level at Amalie Arena. And we had a nice big room, and Gabe set up the camera there. And so that's how all of that got memorialized. And I had really very little to do with it, except for the fact that I had the privilege of calling the playoff run and calling the championship win and that championship moment, which, look, when you sign up for this, you don't know what you're going to get. I've had several seasons where the team that I've been representing came nowhere close to winning any kind of a championship. So you're just thankful to be along for the ride. But thank you again for the kind words. And look, you know, I've answered this question a lot. I mean, I just try and be in the moment. And I think I am in the moment. I think after over 30 years of doing this, if you include my days calling games for a college radio station. You know, I try not to think ahead or think back, really. I'm just reacting to what I'm seeing and mm-hmm. understanding that that was, you know, the clinching moment for the team to win the Stanley Cup. It's hard to win the Stanley Cup. There are a lot of teams that have never won the Stanley Cup. There are a lot of players that have never been a part of a Stanley Cup championship team. And there are a lot of my colleagues who have never had the privilege of broadcasting a Stanley Cup championship team. And I've had the immense privilege of calling two now. So you don't lose sight of that moment and the significance of it. And I try and just be myself and be honest to the moment and react probably similarly to how I might be reacting if I weren't on the air as somebody who is rooting for a team or pulling for a team and seeing something good happen.
Well, I was going to say that because I don't know, you know, People magazine, they're like, celebrities are just like us. And when I saw your call, it was like, oh my gosh, Dave Mishkin reacted the same way I was at home watching and listening to
Did
it.
Did you have a camera on you though?
No, no, it was, I wasn't thinking
about the camera.
I went on full ugly cry. That does not need to be on the interwebs anywhere. But yeah, no, I really encapsulated, I think, how Distant Thunder Lightning fans were feeling in that moment. And that's what makes you such a pro, is that you're able to channel that and still be such a pro at the same time. So it was amazing.
Well, thanks again. And now hopefully there'll be another one to record. And
I know. I don't want to be greedy, but hopefully.
No, you can be greedy. Okay, that's okay. I think the players and coaches are greedy. So you have every right to be just as greedy.
All right. So we kind of want to dive in here. It's kind of been a wild season. It's been weird not to see Kucherov on the ice. And now, you know, Stamkos has been gone for a little bit. In a season where every game matters due to the shortened schedule, what does this say about the team that they have a shot to repeat when missing one of those big pieces for so long? And I know it's not one person that wins a championship. It's a team sport, but Kucherov was a huge part of that. And, you know, Stamkos being out of the lineup for a little bit as well. What does that say about this team and their chances to repeat?
Well, they're a really good team and they didn't let the absence of one player or two players or however many players might've been out affect their performance on the ice. And we saw that in the bubble last year. I mean, they played all but 2 minutes and 47 seconds without Steven Stamkos, and they still were able to win the Stanley Cup. I would kind of break the season into three parts. I think the players recognized that they needed to get off to a good start because it was a shortened season. And while we didn't know exactly how this Central Division would play out, I think there was an acknowledgement certainly within the Lightning organization that it was going to be a really competitive division. As it turned out, Columbus underachieved this year, but nobody knew that at the start. Dallas was a cup finalist last year. Nashville, which just made the playoffs, I think it's seven straight years now the Predators have made the playoffs, so they've been a perennial playoff team. Carolina has been trending up, and we saw how good the Hurricanes were this year. I think the Lightning were fully aware of that. And Florida looked like the Panthers were going to be better. I'm not sure that anybody recognized before game one that they would be that much better, but they were certainly in the mix. So I just listed six teams, and I think Detroit and Chicago at the start of the year were viewed as teams that were going to struggle to compete. And that turned out not to be the case for Chicago. They had a really good season until they faded at the end, and Detroit is trending up. But even just taking those teams out, if you're the Lightning, you're looking at, all right, four spots, we got six teams that legitimately could make it. We don't have as much runway here. It's 56 games, not 82. Let's get off to a good start. And they did that. So I think the first, what were they, 9-1-1 after the first 11 games? That set them up really for the rest of the season. And they played very, very well in those first 11 games. And then their play started to dip a little bit. It didn't dip substantially right away, but I don't think they got back to the level. So that would be kind of section one. Section two to me is kind of the middle of the season. To varying degrees, they were at kind of an okay level to maybe a little less than okay to kind of back to okay to, we're leaning on Vasilevsky maybe more than we would like, still getting points, but it was clear that their attention to detail that helped them get off to such a great start had wavered. And I think it's understandable. Like, it's hard to maintain the level that they set at the start. And they knew that they weren't in, like, the red zone in terms of the standings. So all of that, while it's understandable, as people who cover the team and fans who root for the team, you get frustrated when they're not winning games, maybe 5-1, mm-hmm. and out shooting the opponent 38-22. But that's hard to do. And I think they kind of cobbled their way through that middle part of the season, which kind of ended, in my opinion, with the low point of the season, their lopsided loss in Nashville. Mm. I think that was a wake-up call that they needed to get their game in order for the playoffs. And I think they had 15 games left after they lost the game to Nashville. And maybe with the exception of the last couple, as we talk on the day of game 56, game 54 and game 55 weren't great. No. But for the most part, since their Nashville loss, like, they steered the ship back on course. And I think that they were playing the sort of hockey that is going to breed success in the postseason down this stretch in the regular season. They didn't point in every game. And as a result, I mean, they are not going to finish first. It remains to be seen if they'll get home ice in the series against the Panthers. But the way they were playing, which is something that I think coaches and players have talked about, like, they talk about the process. Like, if the process is good, the results will follow. Mm-hmm. Sometimes your process is good and you run into a hot goalie or you don't get a bounce. Sometimes you don't get the result, but if your process is good, the law of averages states that you're going to get good results more than bad. And the opposite is also true. If you are not playing well, you may win a game here or there, but it's not really a formula for sustainable long-term success. So I think that they pulled their game together in the last, whatever it was, quarter of the regular season, which is a good sign going into the playoffs. Now the question is, as they get ready for this first round series against Florida, what is the status of the injured players and how healthy are they going to be? And you mentioned Kucherov and Stamkos. By all accounts, they will be returning to the lineup healthy, but there is a question about game shape and rust and timing. And then these other guys who have been out more recently, like, what is their status? How effective are they going to be? All of that remains to be seen. But that's not to say that, you know, they can't overcome these obstacles. We saw that they were able to do it last year during that 2-month run in the playoffs.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
So getting back to the back-to-back losses, I think, you know, games 54 and 55, I guess it would be, they lost like 10-3 combined, right? Ugh. Is it anything to really worry about? So I have a very unpopular opinion I've noticed on Twitter. I don't share it with people on Twitter because I'm not trying to get, you know,
hate tweets.
Abused. Yeah, I'm not trying to get, like, you know, verbally assaulted or anything. But I kind of feel like, you know what? They clinched. They're dealing with some injuries. They're dealing with some fatigue. Remember, they had a longer season, the pandemic season, than anybody else. You know what? It is what it is. I think they'll be fine. I think their coaching is good enough. I think the team is good enough. I think they'll get it back together. Is there anything to worry about the play of the defensemen in those losses? Or do you think, you know what, it's just a couple games off and they'll get it together? What do you think, Dave?
Well, Dory, I tend to look at each game individually. And yeah, sometimes two games are very similar and the result might be the same. Like, you might lose both and you can see similarities between the games. But that's only for me anyway, after looking at each game and say, OK, these things were kind of similar. These things were kind of different. Mm-hmm. I do look at games 54 and 55 differently from this standpoint. Dallas was playing for its playoff life and played like it. And the Lightning were not. Now, would you like to have seen the Lightning win that game and keep their hopes alive for first? Mm-hmm. Sure. But the reality of the situation is one team had a lot more at stake than the other. And I think that that kind of played out in the way that game unfolded. Different situation the next night when they took on the Panthers, because they knew, both teams knew, they were going to be seeing each other in that playoff series. And I think that it was clear that there was some tone setting. I actually felt the Lightning played pretty well in the first 30 minutes. And then the game got away from them when Florida scored two quick goals to make a 2-1 game, 4-1. And then the rest of the game was scrums and fights. And the Lightning didn't have a lot of pushback. They also had to kill a lot of penalties. They were playing the second half of a back-to-back.
Yeah,
the game was kind of out of reach. They were short three defensemen. I mean, there were a lot of other things that maybe help explain why the second half of that game, or maybe the last 25 minutes or so, those minutes were fairly quiet for the Lightning. But I actually felt that in the first 30 minutes, they may have been better than the Panthers. And you look at the final score and you say, how is that possible? You're crazy. They got outshot. They lost 5-1, blah, 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 blah. Like, what I look at is, how dangerous were they? How much zone time did they have? How good was Sergei Bobrovsky in the first 30 minutes? And what happened to the Lightning? So I think that loss, the way they lost that game, was different than the loss the night before in Dallas. I think it was a combination of some really unlucky bounces, and I'm putting that first. It doesn't have to be first. I'm not listing them in order of importance. I'm just listing them. Wenberg's goal to make it 3-1 was a bounce that I don't think I've seen in all the years that I've called games. I mean, that was a crazy, first a deflection that took a weird deflection, and then when it hit the ice, it bounced at a right angle directly into the net. I don't think I've ever seen that before. That was definitely a bounce. And Wenberg's hat trick goal, they also got a bounce. It hit off Savard, on the crazy backspin goal or whatever, right angle spin goal. It hit off Savard on his hat trick goal, and then hit off the inside of the post and win it. Those are definitely two very bad bounces. That was one. Two, this was a subpar game for Andrei Vasilevsky. Now, what do we make of that? He's human. He sometimes has games that are not to his standard. If the Lightning are going to do anything in the playoffs, they're going to need him not to be substandard, right? Yeah. So he has shown that his body of work is that he is not substandard. But on that night, I think two of the goals are ones he normally stops. Wenberg's first goal went through him, which is rare. Mm-hmm. And then Huberto's goal to make it 4-1. Hit him and dribbled into the net. Backhands are tricky for goalies, but I will go back to kind of the body of work. Those are stops. Those are shots he usually stops. He didn't that night. And then the third part, which is the part the Lightning have to own, and of the three, this would probably be the most disconcerting if you're kind of ranking them. The Lightning had some defensive mistakes. Like, they had some costly turnovers. They didn't have a ton of them, but they had a couple that were pretty significant. In particular, the 3-1 goal, the crazy bounce goal for Wenberg, and the Huberto goal, both came after the Lightning pretty much had unforced turnovers. That was a part of their game that they had cleaned up in the weeks prior, which is why they were playing so well. And that is something they cannot afford to do in a playoff series. But the first two, do I think the Panthers are going to keep getting bounces like that moving forward? Well, if they do, I guess they should go buy a lottery ticket, but that is very unlikely. And I also think that it is unlikely to see Vasilevsky allow even one of those goals, let alone two of them, in any game in the playoffs. It can happen, but I would be surprised, I guess, if it does happen. And if it does happen, the Lightning are going to have a hard time winning. They need Vasilevsky to be like Vasilevsky, which he usually is. The third part, though, is the part that the rest of the team can control, which is, how are you managing the puck? How are you defending? And there were some leaky parts of their game in the 5-1 loss to the Panthers as well. But I kind of going back, I see that differently than the one they lost the night before against Dallas.
Okay. Yeah. Do you know, are you familiar with Steve Dangle up there in Canada?
No,
he does YouTube videos. He's been around a long time, but he works for, I think he does some stuff for Sportsnet, and he's got this thing called Steve's Dang Its. And it's just those hockey situations that are just make you go, dang it. And those two bounces are dang it. They're just, what are you going to do? And then just you go, dang it, and you move on. And you kind of hope, you know, you don't get any more of them.
Well, and that's true. And the Lightning did a lot of good things to generate chances. Bobrovsky was really good.
Yeah, he is.
In that game. So that's another kind of X factor. How good is Bobrovsky going to be in this playoff series? Is he going to play like that? And if he is, the Lightning are really going to have to double down on how they're defending then and make sure they're not giving any freebies to the other team.
So you kind of alluded to what they need to do in order to beat Florida in the series that is upcoming, you know.
Or any team.
Or any team.
Or any team. Vasilevsky. You cannot turn pucks over.
Yeah. Yeah. Vasilevsky, superhuman, don't turn pucks over, pay attention to the detail kind of thing. But for those who have maybe never really paid attention to the Panthers, because why would we? We kind of have needed to pay attention to the Panthers this season. And so other than Bobrovsky, because we know, you know, defense wins championships, goaltenders are a big part of that. Other than Bobrovsky, what is there a certain player or something that the Panthers do that the Lightning need to be ready to take on? Or is it just a matter of playing your game and making sure you're all buttoned up so that those mistakes don't happen?
Well, it's all of the above, in my opinion. So, yes, if the Lightning play to their standard, they are a handful for the other team. But I think if the Florida Panthers play to their standard, they are a handful for the other team as well. I think Joel Quenneville and Bill Zito, their general manager, deserve a ton of credit for, I mean, they are really the chefs in the kitchen, putting this thing together. Zito brought in a lot of new players to change kind of the makeup of the roster, and Quenneville got them playing at an extremely high level. So to me, Alexander Barkov is one of the top players in the league. Mm-hmm. I think that he flies under the radar because the Panthers have not gone deep in the playoffs during the time that Barkov has been there.
Yeah.
Panthers tend not to get a lot of publicity, and teams in the West only see the Panthers twice a year.
Right.
And in Canada, they tend to not focus as much on teams that are not getting deep in the playoffs or from Canada.
Right.
Barkov is incredible. He is an elite talent, but he's been elite. So he really isn't any different from how he has been in past years. He has been playing at an exceptionally high level for years now. Mm-hmm. So you asked, are there any players that you should be aware of? You should be aware of Barkov, because he is that good. But that alone does not explain why the Panthers have taken such a big step forward this year. I think they have picked up their team speed. And by team speed, I don't mean like skating speed, although that's part of it. It's pace of play. Mm-hmm. They have brought in players who, similar to how the Lightning like to play, and Carolina too, all three of these teams from that standpoint are kind of cut from the same cloth. They play at a very fast pace, and if you are not dialed in defensively, you can get exposed. Mm-hmm. And it's not only how quickly you are skating, but it's also how quickly you are moving the puck, because the puck moves faster than anybody can skate.
Yeah.
And so if you're moving the puck quickly and accurately and executing at that level and playing at a high pace, the other team that's trying to stop you has a harder time. So that's one thing that they have done this year, both in terms of like bringing in some players like Anthony Duclair can fly, but he would fit the bill of a guy who just skates fast. Even the players who aren't as fast as Duclair are playing at a fast pace. And that is Joel Quenneville. Quenneville has implemented the system and got his team executing it. They've also added some snarl. I mean, think of the players they've added during the offseason, Radko Gudas, this Ryan Lomberg, who was in the fight with Shen. Like, he's tough. Hornquist plays a gritty game. Like, they brought him in. Carter Verhaeghe plays with Jam. I mean, we saw him last year with the Lightning. I mean, he's not like a perimeter player. Like, he gets his nose dirty and plays a hard game and is obviously talented offensively and has had a great season. So I think it's a combination of the GM bringing in players to elevate their roster and the coach implementing a system that makes them harder to play against. But the Lightning are also hard to play against, which is why people are looking at the series and saying it's going to be a really good series. And it may, like people say, well, what is it going to come down to? Goaltending, special, like all of that is true. But I think at the most basic of levels, generally the series, beyond kind of getting bounces and trying to stay healthy, and momentum can play a part, particularly within a game if one team gets rolling. It has to do, in my opinion, with which team executes better. Yeah. Like on a given night, the Lightning could beat the Panthers, but on a given night, the Panthers could beat the Lightning. And it usually comes down to which team is executing at a higher level for longer during the game. And if you look back at how the Lightning were able to win the Stanley Cup last year, like they just played at a higher level longer than a lot of their opponents. And then when the other team did surge, the Lightning were able to kind of settle back on their kind of newfound defensive structure, which was their transition last year.
Yep.
And they kind of doubled down on D-ing up and trying to limit chances. And when the other team got chances, Vasilevsky was there.
Right.
But I think if the Lightning tried to win the Stanley Cup last year just by defending and relying on the goalie, like they needed that, but that was only part of the equation. I think that they were just executing at a higher level than their opponents throughout each series, which is how they were able to prevail. And probably at the end of this Lightning Panther series, we're going to look back and say, yeah, this team just played at a slightly higher level. Maybe not. Maybe it does come down to like a crazy bounce here, or one goalie plays exceptionally better than the other,
right,
or maybe one team is crazy efficient on special teams and that tips the balance. But generally you don't see as many power plays in the playoffs. A lot of the play is 5-on-5. Which team is executing its 5-on-5 play better than the opponent?
Either way, it's going to be exciting.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. Whether we have home ice or they do, it's going to be exciting. So before we let you go, and I know we're running out of time, so I'm going to make this multiple choice for you. John Tortorella, does he A, coach again, B, just hit the links, or C, go into broadcasting, or maybe analyst? Maybe analyst is better. What do you think?
Well, I don't know if he came out and said this. I think I've heard rumblings to the fact that he does still want to coach. So I would say A. Now, if he gets an opportunity is another matter. I mean, there may be some job openings during this offseason, and he doesn't get any of those jobs, or maybe it's not the right fit for him. This notion that, like, the game, I don't even know if this is a notion. If it is a notion, people should disavow themselves of this notion. But if there is a notion that the game has somehow passed by a coach like Tortorella, I think that that is false. Columbus's issues this year were multifaceted and not only related to the coach. I think it was an organizational, I hate to use the word failure, but I mean, that's the word that you tend to use when a team underachieves. I think their players didn't play to their standard. They didn't maybe make the right moves in terms of bringing in the right players. They did revamp their lineup from last year to this year. And, you know, I'm sure that Torts would look at it and say, I needed to do a better job as well. But the job that he did collectively during the time he was in Columbus was very, very good. Just case in point, 2019 first round series, Lightning Blue Jackets. You don't really need to look any farther than that. But even beyond that, you know, Torts took over in the 15-16 season and took that year to kind of, I mean, he took over early that year, but he took that year to kind of put his stamp on the team. They made the playoffs 16-17. They made the playoffs 17-18. They made the playoffs 18-19. And last year, because of the shortened season, they were the ninth seed, but they won their play-in series against Toronto and gave the Lightning a really good series in that first round.
Yep.
So if you look at the body of work that Torts did in Columbus, it was really high-level stuff. This year was an off year for them. But I think if you were an NHL team and a general manager looking for a coach that does the sorts of things that Torts can do, he is a very good teacher. He is very exacting and demanding. He holds players to a very consistent but high standard. And if you don't meet that standard, he's not afraid to let you know about it. that may not be the right fit for every team. But if it is the right fit, I don't see any reason why he wouldn't get another crack at it based on how well he did in Columbus over these last several years.
Agree. Yeah, if you have a young team, I feel like he's a good fit for that.
Or a rebuild team, like a team that needs to just turn it around, get their identity together, get some discipline. Not, you know, like, you know, Catholic school kid discipline, but you know what I mean? Like discipline, just make it 180. I think that would be perfect for him. But
they always say about Torrey, like they said it when he was with the Lightning after the fact, like he changed the culture.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I heard about the people who were praising him after the news came out against Columbus or with Columbus. Like he changed the culture in Columbus and he deserves credit for that.
Absolutely.
That was just TSN calling to see if they thought, you know, if we thought Torts would be interested in an analyst job.
Well, look, he did a little bit of broadcasting. He looked like he was both enjoying it and hating it at the same time.
Yeah. He did.
But if there's no coaching opportunity, I don't think he will have any shortage of opportunities moving forward.
Yeah. Definitely would be entertaining for sure. Well, Dave, thank you so much. I personally geek out every time we speak to you because I'm just such a huge fan. So we can't thank you enough for, you know, carving out some time to join us today to talk about the Lightning and crazy enough that we're wrapping up this shortened season and already diving into the playoffs. But thank you so much again. And don't miss Dave's call on the radio. He is the voice of the Tampa Bay Lightning. We can't wait to see you when we can all be back at the arena and get to see each other again in person. Would be great.
That would be great. And thanks for having me on. I'm glad we were able to fit in our annual chat, even in the shortened season.
Absolutely. We wouldn't miss it. Well, Dave, we'll let you go because we know you have to jump on with Greg Linnelli for, is it the power lunch?
That's it.
So
I don't actually eat during power lunch. I usually eat after power lunch, but other people can eat during power lunch.
Exactly. The sacrifices you make for distant Thunder fans, we can't thank you enough. So enjoy your day and we'll catch you later.
All right, ladies. Thank you.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
I love our conversations with Dave. I always learn so much.
And he's just genuinely a really good person.
Yeah. Love getting to talk to him and can't wait to see him in the building again. We are now recording this on Tuesday morning, May 11th. So the regular season is over for the Tampa Bay Lightning and they lost again in Sunrise against the Panthers, who they're going to meet in the first round of the playoffs. We already knew that as of Saturday.
Boy, oh boy. Do I have a lot to say. So we didn't talk about this with Dave just because I get it. I understand the Pat Maroon suspension. I understand why he was suspended. Clearly a lot of frustration.
You think?
And I think, you know, listen, we all love Patty Maroon, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think we all can admit that what he did was a bonehead. It was a bonehead maneuver. And he probably is well aware that it was a bonehead move. He just, I think, in my opinion, just let the emotions get the best of him. And he knows he's been in this league a long time. He is a 2-time Stanley Cup winner. He's a leader and he knows that he should have just continued on with the game with the official.
Right.
He knows.
Instead of circling back and going after the guy.
I feel like he's such a presence on the ice. He may not show up, and I know you agree with me on this. He may not show up on the scoreboard, but his presence is certainly felt every time he's on the ice.
Yeah.
as is Andre Palat, who was also not playing in game 56. I don't want to say, well, if Stamkos, you know, the what ifs. It is what it is. They lost. Dave mentioned that he felt their, I believe it was the game 55 against the Panthers is the one that he didn't think Vasilevskiy had a great game.
Right.
I don't think game 56, he had a great game. I think when he went to play the puck, and you know, we've known each other a long time. You know how I feel about that. You stay in your home, stay in your net. Don't be out traversing the ice like it's the Ice Capades. No, it was behind the net. He plays the puck and oopsie, which is why I'm not a fan of it. It happens. I don't think it was Vasilevskiy's. I don't think it was his best effort. But a couple interesting points about the game that I found very intriguing. So the Bolts concluded the regular season series against Florida with a 3-5-0 record, including a 1-3-0 mark at BB&T Center. The Panthers are the only opponent the Lightning had a losing record to this season.
Well, that's fuel for their fire.
Sure is.
They don't like that.
Yeah.
Okay. The last two games of the season weren't the greatest.
No.
You take those away, you know.
They're five
or
points.
You split them. Mm-hmm. You know, they're still not, you know. But yes, I see what you're saying.
Yeah. Also, a really fun interesting fact, just throwing it out there, that Brian Burns, the great Brian Burns, our dear friend, included in his game notes that I thought was really interesting. The Lightning started Daniel Walcott, Gemmell Smith, and Matthew Joseph at forward Monday. According to NHL stats, the first time three Black players started as a line going back to at least the 2009-10 season when the league started tracking that information. So I did find that interesting.
Very interesting. And the quote from John Cooper was, moving forward in the league, you hope this isn't a story anymore and it'll be the norm. So it's very kind of cool.
That.
Nice little tip of the hat there to that. But I'm not taking a lot of stock in these last two games. Maybe I'm foolish, but they're already in. I don't know that this team so much cares about standings, because we all know what happened when they won the President's Trophy and they were swept in four by Columbus a couple years ago. So I don't know that this team really cares about standings or where they place, just as long as they get in. Once they get in, it's a fresh, you know, series, and they have a job in front of them. You know, they got to beat one team for that series and move on to the next, and then the next. And they don't let themselves get ahead of themselves, I feel like, anymore. They really focus on the job that is in front of them. So I think maybe some of the guys, because I think it's a pride thing for Florida, because they haven't been, I think they've been out of the playoffs 6 of the last 8 years. So it's a pride thing. They've got Joel Quenneville, who's their coach, who, you know, they want to see this intensity. Like, they haven't won a cup. They've got nothing, you know, they have to like kind of prove themselves. And so when you're playing the Stanley Cup defending champions, the last two games of the season, and you know that you're going to be meeting them in the next series, the first series, I feel like that team wants to impose their will and start, you know, dictating the narrative for the series coming up. I don't feel like the Lightning feel like they need to do that. Maybe they're being a little, you know, I don't want to say they're like, don't have their foot on the gas, but I just think
cautious,
but I think they also see things in a bigger picture, maybe.
They're already in.
They're already in.
Now, granted, and they've been here before.
Right. The Panthers throw themselves all over us and try to maim us and all that. And maybe they'll get injured. Maybe a couple of our guys will get injured. But I also think that's why, and normally I would say, Pat Maroon, you're a dum-dum for what you did. I don't like that he circled back around and that's what got him the suspension for the unsportsmanlike conduct. Because I think like you kind of stood up to them already before you did that. But I also think, like you said, he's not an idiot. I think he knows what he's doing. And I think this is just setting up for the series. Like, you don't want to look like you're going to lay down and let them walk all over you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like that he circled back around, and that's, you know, what got him in trouble. But the intensity was there. I don't mind that.
Agree.
And then I think it was last night, Carter Verhaeghe with a high stick to Matthew Joseph made him bleed. I think that was more of an accident. I don't think that was
intentional,
but, you know, I think we're going to see a lot more of Pat Maroon pushing his weight around in this first series. I think it's going to be hard fought. It's going to be fast in speed of how the tempo of the game is, like Dave said earlier.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to be competitive. And as long as the Lightning can fix the little things, I think they have a chance to beat Florida, even though they have home ice advantage.
I agree with you. I think there's something to be said about a team. I know it's like, oh, act like you've been there before. I think there's something to be said for a team that has been there before.
Yeah.
Knows how the pacing goes in the playoffs. It's much different. You know, the Lightning have last year or, you know, well, last year. It was a few months ago. They it's know what it takes.
It's not a sprint. It's a marathon.
And I think they know that. Yeah. And I mean, they, you know, they saw all those overtime games.
Yeah. They played, what, 216 minutes of overtime minutes.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that worries me, though, that those minutes are starting to catch up with them, because they did have the longest season of, you know, Dallas, you know, between Dallas and them, those two teams had the longest season. Mm-hmm. And so all those overtime minutes, I hope that's not what's catching up with them now, but I don't think that's what it is.
No, I think it just, when the postseason, when it officially gets underway, I think we know we're going to see some players back. And this is where it's like, it's kind of a really difficult, how do you answer, did they miss Kucherov?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Did it reflect in the standings, in the win-loss columns? Not necessarily. But let's not, I don't want it to be confused. Like, I've seen people say, we don't even need Kucherov. Okay, first of all, I would like to say he's one of the most dynamic players in the entire world.
Yeah.
One of the best players in the entire world. And no, not one, you pointed out, did not one person makes a team, but his talent is so enormous and his skill set is so unparalleled. Yes, it does hurt when he's not there. They made it through a season without him. I think Matthew Joseph had an incredible season. What a great season he had. Yanni Gourde had. We had a lot of guys that stepped up, but when Kucherov comes back, and yes, there will take some time. We know he's been practicing at least, mm-hmm. right, for a while. So that's good. His chemistry is going to be there with the guys. What about a game situation? Meh, remains to be seen.
Right.
We've seen Steve Stamkos come back from an injury and play like he didn't miss a beat.
Yeah.
He's a superhuman type of guy, though, I think, when it comes to that stuff. So we'll see what happens with Kucherov. I don't think there's anything to be too panicked about. We have seen Cooper. We didn't really bring this up with Dave too much, but I really kind of, you know, the Gemmelsmith, Matthew Joseph, you know, Walcott. We're seeing lines that we're not as familiar with. He's doing that thing that he does where it kind of like, now it was how much of that's necessity, right? With Palat out and right. Maroon out.
If it works, it's something that nobody would expect because they don't have film on it. So,
right. And we've seen him do that before.
Yeah.
Like, hey, that was weird.
Yeah.
And then he does it again and it works.
Yeah.
So I'm with you. I'm not too terribly, the sky is falling, the world is ending. Yeah. Oh, geez, the series over before it begins. I absolutely do not believe that. I believe this is a smart, fast, talented team with a lot of experience.
Yeah.
And we've seen them overcome a lot of adversity. But yeah, I think you're right. I think you have a very hungry team in Pan for in the last couple seasons. We've seen what Joel Quenneville does to a hockey team.
Yeah.
And they're starting to play with a lot more confidence. That's exactly. The only thing that makes me worried about the Panthers is they're now playing with a lot of confidence.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the Lightning can get it back. I know Cooper doesn't like losing at all. And he really hates back to back.
Yeah.
I would hate to be there for three in a row.
Yeah.
You know, we see his press conference and he, you know, he's one of the most personable guys in hockey. What was really being said? I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, well, I don't think he was like, you know, cussing anybody out. That's just not who he is. But
no, but it's definitely not the way you want to go in. It's not the way you want to end the regular season playing a team that you're going to meet in the first game of the playoffs, which are a couple of days away. Yeah. But maybe it'll light a fire under there, you know, because usually if they do drop two or three in a row, they come back with a vengeance.
Right, so right.
We'll see what happens. But
and we always joke about them lulling people into a false sense of security. Like yeah. We joked about it all last
year. You feel like you know you can win? You feel like you know you can beat good? Us? You feel good? No. Boom. Slam them.
So let's just say that's what they're doing.
Yes, they're playing mind games. It's all a game of chess. all right. So I just kind of want to go over what teams have made it in case you haven't been paying attention to the other divisions. Vegas, Colorado, Minnesota, and St. Louis are coming out of the Honda West. Obviously, the Discover Central is Carolina, Florida, Tampa, and Nashville squeaked in there. Out of the Mass Mutual East, Pittsburgh, Washington, Boston, and the Islanders. That Taylor Hall Boston team now. And out of the Scotia North, and let's talk about how the Canadians are very excited that they have four teams in the playoffs because it's awful. Been a couple of years since they've had that many teams in the playoffs. But thanks, COVID. Out of the Scotia North, you have Toronto, Edmonton, Winnipeg, and Montreal. So, it's going to be interesting. And interesting enough, the Lightning landed ninth in the standings of the entire league, which is interesting. So kind of near
very
the middle.
Interesting.
But that means nothing. I mean, 2 years ago,
Columbus. Look at Columbus a couple of years ago. Yeah. I mean, they went pretty far.
And like the year the Blues won, they were like in last place
wild
going into Christmas or a wild card or something.
Yeah,
so I think the Lightning have realized the standings don't mean anything.
Yeah.
You know, and everything is a learning curve. So we'll see. I was watching NHL Overtime last night and, Catherine Tappan did allude to that she knows that they're going to be on the air on Saturday night. So I don't know if that's the first night of the playoffs. It doesn't mean that the Lightning are playing the first night of the playoffs. So, you know, as we are recording this at 11 a.m. on the 11th, we're still awaiting to find out what the schedule is for the first round. So, but, you know, I'm hoping I may be doing some road trips. I don't know, Dory, if you want to go down to Sunrise with me. Maybe see a couple games, but so we will not have home ice. So that means we'll have games 3, 4, and 6 if needed, right? 3, 4, and 6 if needed.
Yeah.
Right. 1, 2, 1 and 2 is in Sunrise. Then 3 and 4 is in Tampa. And then 5 is in Sunrise if needed. 6 is in Tampa if needed. 7 is in Sunrise if needed. So just start looking at the calendar and figuring that out. And, hopefully soon we'll know what night we're playing. So, at least the travel won't be bad for them. So it'll be easy travel. So that won't be a factor, but, so we just await the big announcement. And I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that Steven Stamkos was nominated for the Masterton Award for the NHL Awards again. So congratulations to him. And Dory, anything you want to touch on before we go? Or have we kind of touched on everything so far?
We touched on everything, I think.
Okay. Well, yeah. Depending on what the schedule is, we may have these quick little 10-minute game misconducts because we're getting into the playoffs here. So we may be on more than once a week. So make sure you hit that subscribe button so you never miss an episode of Game Misconduct, and leave us a rating, a 5-star rating and a review, so more people can discover our podcast and join in on the fun. And we will catch you next time on Game Misconduct.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.